So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, and I'm really excited to have Donna Kosick with us today on your book as your big business card. And we're going to dive into our content in just a moment, but let's just take just a brief respite. If you've been sitting all day, just stand for a moment and just place your feet hip width. Take a nice deep breath. And on the exhale, just allow your knees to soften, your shoulders to drop, and just feel yourself sinking into the sensation of just being here for this next hour for a cool conversation about your business, your conscious business, and about a book, possibly for you as your business card. A way to get yourself out in the world, let folks know about you and your work and your service and your gifts and your abilities and how your work changes lives, helps and supports others. And so know that in this hour together, we're going to be covering loads of information, but that you're going to hear just the right pieces for you that are going to just like click in like a puzzle piece. And you're going to be ready to take action on those bits right now. So thank you for being here. I am excited, as I mentioned earlier, because this has been one of those things for me, too, where I've been on the fence, and it's something I've wanted and longed for and felt like so many of us feel like there's a book in me. So our topic today is write your book as a big business card and share your message with the world. And our guest speaker today is Donna Kosick, and she has this beautiful, bold, personal mission of turning 1,000 people into published authors this year, and so we're going to see if we can help Donna out here. She's on her way to meeting that goal with her virtual Write a Book in a Weekend events, and Donna's a book writing and marketing strategist, and she works with coaches, consultants, real estate agents, and other small business owners. She has an MBA in her pocket, and she spent 6 years learning how to write fast and well as a newspaper editor, and 6 more years as an external communications specialist and speechwriter. She's a 2-time award-winning author and former farm girl and lives in San Diego, California. Welcome, Donna.
Thank you, Adela. It's definitely my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this is exciting stuff. I know that loads of folks, me included, feel like, you know, there's a book in me, and it's something that I want to do, and yet there's kind of this push-pull kind of thing. Do I have enough to get it started? And this idea that you put out as your book is a business card, I'd love to just dive in there, because it's a compelling thought that your book can be a business card. I never thought of it that way before.
Yeah, and the idea came to me. It wasn't from me, actually. It was from one of my clients several years ago, before my website, mybigbusinesscard.com, was established or anything. He was actually an insurance agent I was working with, and I was editing his book for him, working with him on that. And he said, you know, Donna, I'm going to use this book as my big business card. And it was like a little light bulb went off above my head. I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. And it's kind of a great concept to think of it that way. And it's not the fact that, you know, it's something, even though it can be small and things, I don't mean to diminish the meaning of a book, because there's so many great things that comes from being a published author, but as a way to say who you are and establish your expertise and do it in such a way that it also builds your credibility, because you do have a book, you're an author. And I think all that combined is just a wonderful way to go. And then in addition, as we talked about with the topic of our conversation today, it's also a way to share your message with the world. And when I started my business and the Write a Book in a Weekend events, I was purely focused on the big business card aspect. But what I found is when I'm working with people and my clients, and that it's also a way for them to share their message with the world. As conscious entrepreneurs, I think that's really important to us, that we're able to share our message and our philosophies, And, of course, a book lets you do that as well.
Yeah, and just to cover that feeling of it feels like something so big.
Right, and it's kind of like how can we get our arms around it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it does, it's something kind of intimidating, and I think it's because also it's you know what, we're all kids at heart, and if you think about it, if you remember back, if you can, to, you know, before you were able to ride a bike, it's like, wow, I don't know, man, two wheels, you know, going in a straight line, not falling down, I don't know if I can do that. But then little by little, you know, you learn how. Maybe you take a tumble or two. Maybe you put your foot down. Then maybe you're wobbling a little bit. And the next thing you know, you're riding a bike. And it's a little bit about the same about thinking of becoming an author. And I really appreciate that meditation you did to start us off, because I think that is key, of visualizing it for yourself and visualizing that possibility and really seeing it for yourself. So you could, you know, when you were a kid, you could see yourself on that bike. So right now, I would want you to see yourself as a published author and holding your own book. And that is not nonsense. That is a vital, I call it a vital step, and the vital first step to becoming a published author. In fact, when I work with people who register for Write a Book in a Weekend, that's their first assignment, is to tell me what your book is about or what your book idea is about, but tell me what your life looks like once your book is done. Do you see yourself signing it at book signings down at Borders or Barnes & Noble? Do you see yourself leading workshops and based on your book? Do you see yourself selling it back in a room after you do speaking engagements? Things of that nature. I think that's really important because it can serve as a touchstone throughout the whole process for the times where we might have to dig a little bit deeper as we're writing a book, because it's something that we don't do every day, writing, you know, putting these words together in this way, there will be times where we start to question ourselves and our ability to get it done, which I'm happy to talk about later on too, for people like if you're not sure if you're expert enough. It's a question that comes up a lot. But in any case, that it serves, having that vision serves as that touchstone to get you through those tougher parts and stuff, and it will help see you through to completion so you can download into reality that vision and actually hold that book in your hands.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it feels like a, you know, just like your business, when you create your business, that's a transformative experience and it changes who you are and who you become. It feels like becoming an author is that kind of a thing too.
You know, you're so right. I like to say that the person who writes the book learns the most from that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean it as of facts and figures and things like that you might be writing about, but you learn to tap into your power and confidence in your subject matter and describing it to other people. Because as you're writing that book, you are setting the tracks in your mind about how you describe what it is you do, what your mission is, how you serve people. And by going through that process through writing a book, it will, next time you're at a networking event and somebody asks, what is it you do? It just flows so much easier forward because you described it to yourself through the process of writing the book. And, you know, yet another added value to doing it and becoming a published author.
Yeah, and actually that's my next question. I love when my speakers do this. They start answering my question right before I ask it. I was going to ask, how does having a published book impact your business? What opportunities does it create?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm going to start off with that one because I think it's really a good message for the ones that who are listening now, is that inner confidence and establishing that expertise, not only to the world, but for yourself as well, because when you write it, you're able to crystallize the messages that you share, but also it's like you join some type of club. And, you know, writing a book is no small feat, even though more and more people are doing it every day, and thank you, technology, for allowing us to do it at a very, reasonable investment. But the fact is that not everybody actually pursues that dream, and so authors get the respect that they deserve. And that's another reason that it helps to have a book to use as a big business card. It can serve as fodder for if you're looking for information or things to write about in your e-zine and that. I go to my book all the time and just take one concept that I describe in my book and expand on it in an article for my e-zine or for my blog. I mentioned, you know, how it can help you if you're doing want to do a group coaching program. It serves as a way to give everybody a type of textbook. I've done this myself and then can lead a class on it and refer people to the book. There's so many ways that the book can help you out. Those are just a few. But it's about making connections, and it's about sharing your message.
Yeah. So you kind of started a little bit on, you know, what it takes. You know, like, what do you need? What kind of qualities? What, you know, like, if I were drafting up, like as if I were going to go on a trip, right, all the things I need for this trip. If I were about to embark on this adventure of writing a book, what would I need to have in that knapsack?
Oh, that is a great question. I love the way you phrase that. Okay, well, in that knapsack, I would throw in, again, that touchstone about first write down your goal statement. I call it your goal statement, why you want to write a book and how that's going to fit into your life. Next, I would be thinking about, actually, Adela, it's like it's important what you put in the knapsack. It's also important what you leave out,
okay?
And what you leave at home.
Yeah.
Because what can happen is this becomes so overwhelming to people, and then they're dragging this, you know, 500-pound knapsack behind them and wondering why they can't make it to the top of the mountain when they go hiking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the reasons is because we want to put everything that we know in that book, and that can be overwhelming, and then we just drop the whole idea. So I like to say that you're not writing the book, capital T. You're writing a book. And that's one of the keys to writing an effective book to serve as your big business card, because it doesn't have to be all-encompassing, and it doesn't have to be War and Peace, and thank goodness, because we don't have to write it. We don't have to write War and Peace. And secondly, nobody's going to read War and Peace. They want to read something about you, about your essence, about your message, your philosophies, what you do in your business, and how you serve others. And really, I mean, if you take each of those little components and think of that as the recipe that's going to make up your book, those are just the main things. That's all you need to put in your knapsack. You can leave your systems behind, you know, all your stats and things like that. They don't have to go in this first book. It's just some very basic things that people can read about you, get you, and then, you know, contact you or remember you. And that's what a book will help you out. I also think in that knapsack, I love this analogy, that you need some, if you're not going with a number of other campers, you know, on the journey and stuff like that, something to help keep you motivated, okay? So in addition to that touchstone of knowing how that book is going to fit in your life, I think sometimes having a specific deadline, a date of when you'll be holding that book in hand can be really helpful. To be honest with you, and this is actually a little bit of an embarrassing story, but I did write a book in a weekend for over a year before writing my own big business card and having it. I was just so busy and that I didn't have one. And it was a friend of mine. We were at an event together, and he was in my mastermind. He leaned across and he whispered to me, he's like, why don't you have your book here? Why doesn't everybody in this room have a copy of your book? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's right. Well, it just so happened that I was speaking at an event last November, and I made a promise to myself that when I was on that stage, I was going to be holding up a copy of my book. And I did it. And I did it within 6 weeks of starting the book to getting it printed, getting it. It was shipped to the hotel where the event was being held. But in any case, and I wrote it in a weekend, and because I wanted to show that my system worked and all that. But in any case, having that kind of hard deadline is also, I'll end there with that knapsack. I think that is something that can be very important to actually giving you that little extra motivation to get that book done.
Yeah, I think you're right, because otherwise it could be like me. I'm like, okay, at some point this year, I'm doing it. it can just keep going on and on and on. You never actually reach, you know, your goal.
Right, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't need it, but there's some of us who do.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people. It's like, give me a hard deadline. But you know, Adela, even if you got that book done in a year, that's better than not getting it done at all. And I think that's the main message I want to leave people. You know, we were talking to Ruth prior to the official start of the call, and she's like, I think that my book idea is a little bit too big, you know, for your program and that. So if you get 50% of it done in a weekend and the other 50% done the 2 months after,
mm-hmm.
who's going to know?
Yeah.
You know, the fact is that you're going to get your book done, and that's the key.
Yeah. You mentioned Touchstone as one of those key elements in your knapsack, you know, as the reason why you want to write a book. Can you speak a little bit to that? Because I can almost feel myself like be like, well, it'll position me as an, you know, as an expert. It'll give me something, you know, that I can use when I, you know, want speaking engagements. But I got a feeling you're talking about something much deeper than that.
I really am. I'm talking about that vision and also that passion to help you through those times, you know, if you don't have the ability to talk to me on the phone or something like that, where you just have to dig deep and find the reason why you want to write a book. And you really want to have that clarified in the beginning, crystal clear, because if it's like, oh, yeah, this would really help my business, this would be a great marketing tool, I think I should have one.
Yeah.
There's no passion in that, and then you'll find excuses to go and you know, play with the dog or the kids or go get something to eat in the refrigerator rather than sit down and actually get it done. And also it helps out, I mentioned this a little earlier, to give you the belief that you can see it for yourself. And at least, even if you don't completely believe it, that you'll be down at Borders and doing a book signing and that, by writing out the first time, at least it plants the seed. And you can at least see it a little bit, and that's what's going to help serve you again, because I want you to see it for yourself and to see it for how it fits in with your particular life, because your unique self. Because another situation that in my experience happens is that a person could be halfway through the process or even almost done with their manuscript, and all of a sudden these doubts start appearing. Who's going to listen to me? Why should I be expert enough? And that, and it's a really interesting phenomenon. I think it's because once we get into the process of actually creating and writing the book, we get hooked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a part when we kind of see it coming to an end, and we're not exactly sure what the next steps are or something like that. We can slow it down or try to trip ourselves up. I've seen it time and time again with the most confident people.
Mm-hmm.
The most confident people who have done this before, and they can trip themselves up. So yet another reason to really hold true to your vision of why you want it. And if it comes to a point that it's like, okay, I'm trying, Donna, but you know, this I've written it out and I've told you my vision, I'm not sure I quite believe it. Well, then I always take a line from one of my spiritual mentors, of Mary Manon Morrissey, and she says, if you can't believe in yourself, well, believe in my beliefs. Because I do have that personal mission to see 1,000 people turn into published authors this year, and I believe you can do it. I attract, Adela, I attract the best people into my world. I love it. I love it. And the people, and I believe that you can do it, and I believe you're expert enough. And if you're in my world, I know it. I know it for a fact. Because I have never had a write a book in the weekend registrant turn in crap. To be honest with you, I've never had to send a manuscript back and say, there's not enough here. No, you're all wrong and stuff. This isn't ever going to stand up. And I give honest opinions. Don't think that I don't. I do. But it's never happened to me because I believe that conscious entrepreneurs already have that that sense and that knowledge of what it is that they do. It's just the point of bringing it all together in a book.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. But to me, it's an energetic thing. It's a resonance thing. You know, that if folks are hearing you, it's because, you know, you're the possibility is in their field, and it's totally doable for them.
Exactly.
Totally, totally get that. Yeah, and I see also the touchstone is that fuel that'll take you through in those moments when you do run into those rough patches.
It will. And also, you know what else it does, and this is beautiful, it keeps you on track.
Yeah.
Because what can happen is part of the mind will say, you know what, let's write a book about this instead, or let's throw in 10 chapters about this subject instead. It's kind of like a, you know, a little gremlin that's trying to get you off track. And you can go back to that goal statement and say, well, does that fit in with my goal statement? Does that fit in with the book that I see myself leading this workshop with? If the answer is no, leave it out. Leave it for the second book, something about nut nature. It helps you make clear decisions through the book writing process.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see where it could really just clarify, you know, what's in, what's out, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, it could just really help you fine-tune and focus. Yeah, absolutely. So I know most of the folks here, they either have a conscious business or they've got a job and they're working on their conscious business, you know, on the side. So where do you find the time to write this fabulous book?
You know, good point. First of all, for the people that have a J-O-B, as we like to say and stuff, first of all, you know, bless you and trying to get something else off the ground at the same time. But secondly, I really believe there's truth to the saying that if you want something done, ask a busy person. when you have a busy life, you're more likely to get more done.
Uh-huh.
And because you realize the value and the precious amount of time that you have to work on your business, and you won't waste time by surfing the net. You know, you get right to business and the writing and things like that. So good for you. And then for the rest of us who sometimes can, you know, sit and watch Grey's Anatomy for several hours rather than sometimes getting done those revenue-generating activities for our business, I think it's not so much a matter of finding the time. It's a matter of making the decision that you're going to do this. Because once you make the decision, it will get done. Once you truly make the decision, make the commitment, it will get done. And if you think, Adela, that's the way everything operates in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
What we decide to do gets done. And so I think there's great power in that. In fact, I think it's probably one of the most powerful concepts in this universe of ours is making the decision.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just say my favorite quote over and over again. Gary Zukav, choice is the engine of your evolution. And I just find that that powers up my life in so many ways, and it comes into my mind all the time, especially when I'm at choice points, at these decision points.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize the power that you have just by making a choice, and that your choice makes things possible. So
that's right. And then also, you know, just those, you know, other elements, you know, making the decision, seeing the value of the book, seeing, you know, this the practical side of Donna that's coming out a little bit here. It's like, okay, great, I made the decision, but, you know, I still feel like I should be out there working on my website or blogging or something instead of writing the book. And, again, that kind of comes into what the vision is that you have and you want for yourself, and holding on to that idea of being a published author, and then also recognizing that practical side of what you can do with that book when you're done with it, how it just does open up that whole world to you, not only making connections, but frankly making income,
mm-hmm.
making money, generating revenue through workshops, through speaking engagements, and things of that nature. And I think that can kind of help us put some giddy up into the project and into finding the time.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask about one of the things you've already spoken about. You know, how do you decide what to write about? Like, let's say if you've got, like, you know, you write quite a bit already, and it's a matter of deciding what's a good topic to write about. What do you write about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what to write about, it's not, for most people, it's not a question of, you know, how do I find a topic to write about? It's like, which topic should I write
right.
about?
Mm-hmm.
Because we have so many things to offer. So here are just some fast ideas on that. When you're writing a book to use as a big business card, a good way to kind of go about it, in fact, the easiest way, Think about what kind of questions you get from your clients or even your prospects that you're answering all the time, okay? Mm-hmm. Those answers are good fodder, starter fodder for your book, all right? And here's one of my favorite secret techniques, all right? You ready for this one?
Yeah.
All right. You probably answer a lot of those questions on email. I know when I was starting out and I was a freelance copywriter and I was doing marketing consulting and I would get questions from people, you know, why should I work with you and why do I need one of those long sales letters, you know, things, mm-hmm. things of that nature, I would take 20 to 30 minutes composing an email back to them
mm-hmm.
and telling them here's exactly why and showing, you know, my expertise and my professional opinion. And, you know, here's a few ways that it works and that. We just go to your sent file and you find a few of those emails and you already have some copy, we call it, you know, the actual words that you can copy and paste and get and use in your book. You might, you know, obvious, just some concepts to get you started. And, you know, Adela, that's really one of the keys, too, is just getting started, getting over that blank screen syndrome
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and just getting started with something. Another way of deciding what to write about besides answering the questions that your audience gives you is talking about ways that you can help people. And a good way to do that is through case studies, whether they've occurred in reality or not. But if you just showcase the kind of problems that people come to you with and then your solutions for those problems through telling some stories, of these case studies, really great way to write a book fast and easy and do it in such a way that you don't have to brag on yourself,
mm-hmm.
like my mom used to say. You know, instead, it's like through the eyes of another, and yet you're still showcasing your identity, your expertise as you're doing it. And you could actually combine a number of these methods, you know, answer questions, do case studies, talk about, you know, your inspirational quotes and things, and that kind of gets into your philosophies and things like that. So the key is to getting started, writing about what you're passionate about is another thing. I think when you're selecting a topic, you want to make sure that it's something that you resonate with and that won't run dry on you, at least initially. I mean, we all know we have to get the wheels greased and get going when we're doing the process and stuff. But, you know, as you're writing, what I tend to see happen is that things catch fire and you keep going and going and going. And I'll end there for right now with some ways to decide what to write about.
You know, Donna, one of the things that I found a little bit challenging, because I've been blogging for a while and I write articles and, you know, so I've been writing shorter things. And one of the things that I found really difficult when I first did it was, like, to write a special report, which basically was putting together, like, from some of my smaller pieces and bringing them all together. So what do you say to folks who, like, let's say, for example, they've got some of these things already, like one of the really great things about, you know, technology is that we can repurpose a lot of our content and our material. So let's say folks have, like, some of these emails that they've got in their, you know, in their sent box. They've maybe got some case studies on their blogs, and they just want to kind of start pulling things together. How is it that you actually start organizing this content, the material that you've got?
I have two really good, I hope they're good, thoughts on this. And one is, okay, organizing the content, and there was something else you said. Oh, okay, I'm going to say the first thing, though. If I forget, say closet to me, Adela,
okay.
Closet, and I'll get that second thought. But the first one is never get tired of your message. And so many times we think that we have to reinvent the wheel
mm-hmm.
and recreate and that. But one of my favorite professors at Grove City, Dr. Donnelly, he used to say, plagiarize yourself. And that holds true more than ever, because some people struggle. They think that everything has to be new content and that in their book, and it doesn't. You can recycle. You know, do it the 21st century way and recycle some ideas. And you'll probably add things and things like that. They'll be a little bit different, but it's your message. You know, you created those that blog content and those e-zine articles because you had something you wanted to share on that. Well, share it again in your book, and because somebody might not read your blog and that. Or even if they do, they might want to hear it again, like I was saying before. Sometimes we just have to be reminded of things like that. So don't be afraid of being redundant with your blog or with your e-zine. You can still put those things in your book, and that's perfectly fine. So don't get tired of your message. Stay on message. Stick with it. And then the second thing is, so I said for you to tell me closet, and I remember. So, again, most of us have, you know, things like special reports, which, by the way, Adela, your special report might be a very good foundation, actually, for your entire book. I had a client do that. She took her special report and pretty much just turned it into her book, it's about website homepages, and she added some images and a little bit more information, and that's basically all she needed to do because she was so thorough in her special report. So in any case, you might have something really good there. However, here comes the closet, the closet story. So if you have, like, just, you know, so much stuff and you're not sure, well, I have this and that, and you're kind of trying to pull it together, and it's like, well, what's going to go in this book? Well, it's very similar to the way my closet looks right now. I have clothes from every season in there. In San Diego, they're all kind of the same seasons, yet there's sometimes we wear long sleeves and jackets, and sometimes that we don't, and all that. So what I would do if I wanted to go and clean out that closet is I'd go back in my bedroom, I'd take everything out, and I'd lay it across the bed and the dressers and probably pile some on the floor and all that. And so I'm starting with an empty closet. And then what I do is I pick from those piles those outfits that I know I'm going to keep because they're some of my favorites. So there's the one that I'm going to wear next week when I'm on stage speaking, and I really like this because this outfit, and I feel good in it, has some red in it, and, you know, I feel like I can speak really well in it. So that's definitely going back in the closet. And then there's an outfit that I have for date night, and I've gotten a lot of compliments in this color, and I feel good in it, and so feel, you know, for those romantic evenings and stuff, I want to feel sexy, I put that outfit on. So that one for sure is going back in the closet. And then there's one where I'm feeling kind of blue, and if I'm having a day like that, there's a comfy outfit, feels good against my skin, that I definitely will put on to make me feel better. That one's going back in the closet. So probably by the end, say I have 7 to 10, maybe 12 outfits that are for sure in that closet. Once they're in there, I'm confident that I have everything I need for right now in that closet. The other clothes and things like that, maybe they'll go in the closet, maybe they'll go in dresser drawers, maybe they'll go to Goodwill, not sure. But it's like, okay, I feel better now. I feel better now because I know I have these particular outfits in my closet. Well, it's the same when you're writing your book. What I recommend people do is instead of clothes in the closet, you have material in your life, written material, emails, like you said, and special reports and e-zine articles and everything like that. So what I recommend you do is go gather it all together, both, you know, on your computer, and you probably have some hard copy files as well, and then take 90 minutes max, an hour and a half max, and go through it very quickly. You can have a highlighter maybe in your hand. Maybe you want to highlight a few main points, or something like that that you just want to know that you might be referring back to or something like that. So go through it really quickly just to give yourself a refresher on these things that you know for sure, and then put it away. Put it in a desk drawer. Put it away and start with a clean sheet of paper and a pencil and write down the 5 to 7 to 10 things that you know for sure. Big items that are part of your life's philosophy, that are part of your business mission. The things that you say to people or your clients they're like, wow, I never thought of it that way before. Thank you so much for explaining it in that manner. I really appreciate it. So these kind of concepts, write them down on a piece of paper, and this is going to become what I call your power outline. Your power outline. And this is going to serve as the basis of your book. So instead of trying to boil down all that information and cutting and pasting it and ending up with a document that's 2,000 pages long, and how do I make this like book size, which is actually happening to one of my clients right now, a private client, and he's beyond frustrated because he's trying to boil it down. It's easier to start with an outline and build up and add to it. So that's the method that I would recommend for getting started.
How long should your book be?
It depends. What I recommend for people who have really embraced this concept of having a book as a big business card, getting it done fast and easy so they can use it as a marketing tool, use it to build credibility in that, is to write what I call a short and powerful book. A short and powerful book. And by that I mean a book that's very powerful message, but doesn't have loads of content. So we're looking at something that, say for a square book, it's something that might be 64 pages minimum, okay? 64 pages minimum, because that number of pages will allow you to perfect bind the book so it looks like a book and not like a pamphlet. And also just, you know, it's enough pages for you to describe what it is that you want to talk about. You can add more. I wrote a short and powerful book. I use a square book template that comes with Write a Book in a Weekend, and I recommend a minimum page count of 64, and mine's 120. Mine's 120. For a 9x6 book, which is a typical business size book, I recommend a minimum page count of 120.
Okay.
120 for that. You could do 100, but I think 120 kind of serves well. But here's the thing, Adela. I know people who have a 120-page book. It's a 9x6. I know one author who has 12,000 words in that book. I know another author who has 32,000 words in that book. How does that happen?
Yeah.
It's all a matter of formatting. It's all a matter of formatting. The first author, who has fewer words, he has a bigger font size.
Mm-hmm.
He has more space in between paragraphs. He might have more testimonials or more quotes used in the book that are standing alone on a page. And so he's been able to spread out several thousand words through 120 pages. The other author, the font size is a little smaller. His margins are a little bit less tight. They're less wide. So he has more words on a page. For a 9x6 book, you could have anywhere from 125 words on that page to 250. And that's the magic of book writing and of book formatting, is that it doesn't matter how many words you have for the most part. I mean, yeah, there's a minimum. You probably don't want to go below 7,000, which for many of us is like a long article, you know?
Yeah.
A longer article or a piece or a feature article or something.
Right.
But they can be spread out in a number of pages. And so, and nobody will look at that book and like, oh, there's nothing in here, because the formatting and all that adds that magic to it. And they're focusing on the words and the message, not so much the way it looks. And frankly, I think more white space is better, because it is more reader friendly. And, it's just easier to read for somebody to finish the book. It welcomes them. It welcomes them, and then they can finish the book and then move on and remember you.
Great. Great information. Well, more questions coming up, so I'm going to go to the next one. Do you need an editor?
This might surprise you, because I have to say, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. 80% of the people that I work with, and again, those who I attract to my universe, the conscious entrepreneurs who care about their message, do not need an editor.
Okay.
They just need a proofreader, someone to catch those things that we don't see or that we might not be sure. Does the period go inside the quote marks or outside? I can never remember. Okay. I'll tell you, it goes on the inside. But but in any case, it's those kind of things that a proofreader can catch. what an editor does is there's several levels of editing.
Mm-hmm.
I said 80% of the people I work with don't need an editor. Those who do usually know they do. They're like, I write my book. I'm too conversational when I write. I had one client, and just the way she writes. She writes gonna, G-O-N-N-A, instead of going to.
Right.
And so she needs an editor to do a little bit more work in changing some of the words around and things like that. Editors sometimes, too, they will read for a lot of clarity, and they might say, the concept here is not really well explained. I don't understand what you're trying to say. You might want to rewrite that, things like that. But, again, I just say that, it's only 4 times out of 5 people do not need an editor. And you just go to proofreader. I used to do editing work. I used to, myself. A lot of times we call on an editor, frankly, as a way to slow down the process or as a way to get validation that our work is good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a coach, trust that. If you have a professional telling you your work is good, go with that. Even if you don't, just go with it and trust yourself that you're going to put out good stuff, because what I've seen happen is editing can really slow down the process. And I'm not saying that, if you have to go through the editing process and it takes 6 months to a year and stuff, that time is wasted. No, we all know that, there's no such thing as the wrong time. It's always the right time. And so your book comes out a year later. But what I hate to see happen is that an editor, sometimes their job to question you and your writing, and what can happen is it can undermine your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get so confused, I don't know what to do, and the project just comes to a complete stop. And that just breaks my heart, because there's so many good books out there, good manuscripts out there that are completed or nearly completed, but they haven't turned into books because something got stopped through the editing process.
Yeah. So I've heard folks say self-publish. I've heard folks say, no, go with a publisher. How do you decide what's the best way to print and publish a book?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great question, and it's just so interesting, because I think what's happened is that we misunderstand what self-publishing means, and it's come for many people to mistake it as meaning that it's low quality, or the person couldn't get a traditional publisher, so they just did it on their own, and so the book can't be worth anything and stuff like that. Totally not the case. All self-publishing means is that you're the one who sponsored upfronted the money to get the book in print.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So either you're doing it or Random House is doing it. Either you're doing it or HarperCollins is doing it, okay? I just named a couple of the more traditional publishers. They're also known as big city publishers or New York City publishers, because so many of them are based in New York City. And it used to be, too, you had to make this decision right away. You had your manuscript done, and it's like, ooh, which route am I going to take? Because once you self-published your book, it used to be that a traditional publisher would want nothing to do with it. So you were completely on your own in promotion and distribution and all of that stuff. However, I'm so happy to report that the traditional publishing industry has actually done a 180, and now they want to see books that have a track record, that have already started having a track record of an audience, of an author who can talk about what their message is and stuff, and who can explain who they are and what they're all about, who have already started to gather a following so the book has legs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will pick up that book. You don't have to decide anymore. You can self-publish first, show that the book has an audience, and then a traditional publisher will be more likely to pick it up and then run with it and help you out in some of the marketing and the distribution and give you some added, I have to say, credibility.
Yeah.
A little bit added credibility. But if you're looking to sell your book back a room, use it as a big business card and things like that, no need to seek out a traditional publisher, because it's going to take you, first of all, to get one. I equate to winning the lottery. It's really tough, especially these days, because the publishing industry is going through some dire straits in the economy. Mm-hmm. But secondly, it takes so long once you're accepted. It takes so long. It takes about 18 to 24 months or longer. And it's, even as conscious entrepreneurs, we don't have that kind of time. We don't have that kind of patience.
Yeah.
We want to get this thing done. And so that's why you can self-publish yourself. And then once you have built up a following, if you want to seek out a traditional publisher and go that route, you're much more likely to have success. And, in fact, if you've heard of the books Rich Dad, Poor Dad, What
mm-hmm.
Color Is My Parachute, and The One-Minute Manager, all of those books were self-published. They're self-published first and then picked up by a traditional publisher. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. And those are just three of thousands
mm-hmm.
that have gone that route.
So how much does it cost to publish your own book?
How much does it cost?
Much does it cost to get that hardcover or softcover or whatever?
What if I told you, Adela, that you could get a copy of your book? Let's say you're thinking of say you're thinking about the 9x6.
Mm-hmm.
Say you're thinking about, how many pages are you thinking?
Probably like 120.
Ooh, okay, 120 pages. All right, very good. Okay, it's going to cost you $5 for printing and then, say, $3 for shipping. And you'll have delivered to you a perfect-bound book. Looks great. Looks professional. Glossy cover. And you can take that down to Borders or Barnes & Noble and hold it up to those books and, you know, same type of quality. Would that make you happy?
Oh, I'm jumping up and down inside right now. That's all? Just $8 a book?
That's it. Actually, I know. I love what I do.
This is insane.
I know.
My God, why have I been waiting? Go ahead.
I know. I love what I do. See, that it used to be that only rich people and academics could get published because there were those cost barriers to publishing. You had to burn plates and have a minimum press run of 2,000 books to make it, you know, at all effective and things like that. But now with print-on-demand technology, you can publish a book at a time, or publish a book at a time, and for about $5 a copy, plus shipping and handling to get it to you or to get it to Amazon, you know, whichever direction it's going in, or get it to a customer, okay? So, and also don't think that like, oh, okay, well, $5, I mean, that's good. And that's good. Say you price your book at $10. You're making, you know, you'll have to, whether you have the shipping costs or the customer does, something like that, you might make a few bucks on it, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So you don't have to operate at a loss. But even if you did, even if you gave that book away, remember, it's that value. It's like having that workshop and having that selling back a room or having teleseminars or info products and stuff in your book there as a bonus. It's like a loss leader kind of thing we call in business.
Yes.
And that, but the thing is that it doesn't even have to be. You could even make a little money on it, but then think of the thousands of dollars of income that you can make after it's in hand and when you can say that you're a published author. And that's the real key.
That is the real key. And going into that, I was wondering, you know, you see those books that have reviews by like Jack Canfield and Wayne Dyer. Do you need those kind of big name endorsements or what kind of endorsements do you need to help with your book?
Yeah. And two of the, you named two of the leaders, you know, among us conscious entrepreneurs and stuff and things that we look to. It's tougher and tougher to get an endorsement from Jack Canfield. Well, why do people want those endorsements? First of all, let's just think of it that way. Why do they seek them out? And it's to kind of add credibility to their book, and they're probably also thinking it'll help sell more books.
Mm-hmm.
Will it? Won't it? I don't know. But also, selling more books isn't the goal. Getting more people into your business and as clients is the goal. So I don't think it's necessary, frankly. I think that you can have your own book, publish your own book without any huge testimonials or endorsements for the book itself, but maybe having some testimonials for your work in the book. Because the goal is always to get that reader to contact you for more information. Now, I'm not going to turn down a testimonial or an endorsement from Jack Canfield. Are you kidding me? However, is it needed? I don't think so.
You don't need them.
It's more important to have that published book and then to move on with things and thinking about your business and marketing yourself and online and things like that. Just moving on and just using that book and taking it to the next step and going to the next level with your business.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember the purpose of your book in this.
Exactly.
Yeah, that it's actually you're using it for your business as a big business card.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Right. And selling the book, you know, like I said, you can make a few bucks on it and stuff, but you have to sell zillions of books. Wayne Dyer still has to sell zillions of books to make a profit from those books or for his publishing house to make a profit from those books. And he's not making most of his profit from those books.
Yeah, it's
he
not.
He's making profit from his programs. Jack Canfield, same thing.
Yeah. So that book is kind of like an entryway. To access all of those other opportunities.
It's something that's working for you 24/7, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like I was talking earlier, it's where you cross that invisible boundary. It puts you in that class of experts.
Yeah.
When you're a published author, if you think about leaders in the industry, you know, we've talked about a couple of here, and there's others, Marianne Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Or Marianne Williamson, I'm sorry. Marianne Williamson. And others, those leaders, I mean, they are published authors, but they're also out there, you know, and you can be a published author and you can be out there speaking your message as well.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask your opinion on this thing. You know, lots of us, I know I have participated in book launches and I was wondering what are some of the best ways that you can leverage your time in getting your book into the hands of folks who need it?
Mm. So about like promoting your book? Maybe?
Yeah, like getting the word out about your book. I know that book launches, those big, you know, book launches where everybody
mm-hmm.
gives a bonus, you know. I mean, I know that that's one way that some folks have done it, but I was just wondering if you could share with us some of the ways that you know of getting your book out there into the hands of folks who need it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I resisted this for so long. However, I had so many people who take part and write a book in a week and ask me, say, could you please do a promote your book in a weekend? Like, I want to know, you know, what comes next and how do I do it? And I'm like, okay, even I've got to get realistic that writing a book can be a sprint, and that's something you can get done in a weekend, but promoting it is a marathon. It's a marathon, okay? However, I did do a class in launch your book in a weekend, because it all starts with that launch and how you're getting started. And I don't think it's going to surprise you, Adela, that it all comes down to strategy.
Mm-hmm.
The virtual book tour that you mentioned, book signings, press releases, you know, even groups on Facebook and all of that, those are all tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all tactics. And what you want to think is, how do you select the best tactic? Well, that's by having a strategy in place. And so when it comes to that point, in promoting your book and using it, I actually have identified what I call three different launch strategies. And the first is what I call the celebrity book launch. And that's where a virtual book tour would probably come into play well. I will tell you, though, organizing one of those, it takes some time, just so you know. It takes some time. It takes some connections. If you're even thinking about doing one of those for your book and your book is just a twinkle in your eye, start making connections right now with the people that you would want to promote you and do one of these virtual book launches for, okay? In any case, so the celebrity book launch is where your book is, instead of a big business card, it's almost like an 8x10 glossy. Okay? Just, you know, something that's going to get you on TV shows. It's going to help you sell more books, you know, things of that nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be a type of book launch that you want to do. But there's also the big business card launch, which is my forte, and that is using that book to get clients. Does a virtual book tour help you do that? Maybe, but maybe it'd be better to have a teleseminar where you offer your book as a free, I actually did this, where you offer your book, a signed copy of your book as an incentive for people to sign up for a little $97 three-day teleseminar series with you, teleseminar class. And that,
oh, nice.
You can actually make several thousand dollars of your profit from doing something like that. And then More than covers the cost of your books. You make a nice little profit, and in that, all those people who joined up for that teleseminar series are now prospects, and you can sell them into your next level program.
Well, that's sweet. I like that.
Yeah.
A lot less work.
Yeah. It's a lot less work, and it's a way to make some cash and get more people who know, who have heard your voice, they've read your book now, and they might be more likely to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the type of activity I would suggest for a big business card launch. And I have a final launch that I talk about, and this actually came from a friend of mine. She's like, I'm really nervous about the marketing part. She actually has a job, full-time job. This is kind of a passion of hers, but yet she's not able to work on it full-time. But she goes, you know, I went through the process yet of writing this book, and I feel that I should honor that process in some way. And we call that honor the author within launch. And the way you do that, it primarily centers around having a website. Because even though I say that any of those tactics are probably, you know, it's up to you, take what you want, leave the rest, I do say that a website is vital. Website
mm-hmm.
is vital and your first step to launching your book.
Awesome.
Makes sense?
That makes total sense. And each of those different types of launches is just a different level of energy and engagement and amount of work.
It is, and a different strategy.
Yeah, it's a different strategy.
Again, it kind of goes back to your vision. What do I want for myself and for my business and for my book?
Yeah, and so depending on where people are in their business, I mean, there may be some folks here who have loads of connections. One of my buddies, actually someone who was on the Telesummit yesterday, Wendy Y. Bailey, is launching her book. And, you know, those Amazon launches with the gazillion, like the 75 bonuses, for me, I'm not interested in doing those. It's just like, it's not very fresh. They've been overdone. And she's doing something different. She's doing kind of like a blog tour
mm-hmm.
with her book.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. And an interview, you know, like an interview and a blog
right.
tour where you write a blog post, a guest blog post. And I think that one of the things that we have to remember, too, is that, you know, you can get creative with how you get the word out about your book. And that a lot of it can be like your style. I mean, it's great to have these strategies already in place. You've got three of them that sound fantastic. But I think also that people can, you know, even tap into what their message is and who their market is and bear those things in mind when they're looking how to get the word out about their book.
Absolutely. You are dead on. You are right on about this. And also about what their message is and who they are.
Yeah.
Who they are. A virtual book launch and that, which I agree, I think people have become rather cynical about those.
Yeah.
And they don't read the information anyway. And so, so that might not be a good fit for you. But I actually, during my Launch Your Book class, I had a little contest. I said, send in your most creative ideas. For promoting your book. And the one of the winners, I gave a free coaching session to the top two winners. The person who sent in the most ideas, so quantity, and then the person who sent in the best idea. And the winner of the person who sent in the best idea, I love this, is that he put in his book, what he did is he told people, readers of the book, find the words Minnesota Vikings, which was his favorite team, his home team, and send me an email with what page and what line the words Minnesota Vikings are on in my book, and you're going to win a free 20-minute consultation with me, free coaching session.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that clever?
That is so clever. That gets them to consume the book, you know, to get
right.
into the book.
Right.
Yeah.
Another of ideas was like the high temperature in Minneapolis is the price of my book today. So, you know, say it was like 7 degrees in Minneapolis was the high
mm-hmm.
For some January day, his book would be $7. And so he was going to go to like local radio stations or something of that nature. And when they announced the temperature and then say, oh, by the way, you know, take out a little sponsor ad or something like that, you can now buy this book for $7, go to this website or something like that. Again, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right on. Be creative. Be yourself. Think beyond the normal borders of what you see other people do and be different.
Yeah.
And be different, and that's going to get you attention right there.
Yeah, I think that that's the probably the juiciest way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it'll be something that you enjoy doing because it's part of you versus something you think you have to do, because
mm-hmm.
we all know how that goes, how hard it is.
Absolutely, and I think, too, that that's going to align you with the kind of people that are going to be a better fit for your work, your business, and your programs.
Right. Yep, exactly. Attract your ideal client.
Yeah, you're going to be attracting different kind of people if you're doing things that are like you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Donna, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about your offer. I know that it's coming up soon. You write a book in a weekend, and I remember that when I saw the list of people who have taken your course and written their books, I was like, oh, my goodness. It's just such an extraordinary roster of students. I've attended they're wonderful people, all of them.
I know. I actually have, pictures of some of them on the website. What's the link that you have to the website?
It's consciousbusinesstribe.com/write-a-book.
consciousbusinesstribe.com/write-a-book. Write a book. So you can see actually the pictures there of some of the people who are helping me fulfill my mission of turning 1,000 people into published authors this year. And I also have to say my staff surprised me, and on my birthday they actually created collages and framed photos of some of my authors holding their book. And, oh, my gosh, it looks so awesome, and I'm so happy to hang them here on my wall and look at them every day and have so many books on my shelf of fame. I say that as I call it, you know, the people have actually published their books under my watch. But the idea of writing a book in a weekend actually came about from a Facebook group. I started a group on Facebook called the Write a Book in a Weekend Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a member ask me, well, Donna, I'm ready to write my book this weekend. What do I do? And I thought, what would I have her do? So I came up with this idea of having a virtual online seminar. So no travel was necessary, and you could kind of create your own writer-author environs in your house, or if you wanted to get away for the weekend and do it there. And, you know, get this book done in 2 days, find out how to get it published with, like I said, for $5 or so, like I was telling you about, and then move on with life, because that's just kind of the way I am. That's the way I roll. I want to get something done and then move on. And so I created Write a Book in a Weekend. My next one is June 5th and 6th. But I also have some in two more this year. I have one in September and one in November. And then later on this month, we're going to be making our calendar for 2011. I'll probably be looking to have six or so next year, too, maybe four. Maybe four. I might be cutting it back a little bit.
Well, you know, I'm just struck by all the happy faces with people with their books in front of them.
I know. You know, And it's so funny, because if you're listening and you're thinking, like, oh, I just don't know, you know, if I could do this and stuff, and you can see people just like you pictured there holding their book, and they felt the same way you did. Don't know if I can do this. And my favorite is I got an email after somebody sent me, her name is Andrea. She sent me a photo of her holding her book, and she's like, well, that wasn't so hard.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, again, it's just once we know how to ride that bike, it's not hard at all. So
when you do this on the weekend, I'm just curious, are you like, is it 3 days, is it 2 days?
Yeah. Well, when you register, you immediately start receiving information to help get you organized.
Okay.
Because, you know, I want to get you started right away prior to the weekend, although I have to say I've had people join as late as Saturday morning of the weekend, and they still get their book done.
Mm-hmm.
They come in, you know, and they have adrenaline, I think, on their side. So in any case, and making the decision, too.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, as soon as you register, you start getting some information from me and that about how to get organized. And then it really starts to ramp up about 10 days, 7 to 10 days prior to the weekend, a little bit more information, some PowerPoint videos, presentations, a copy of my book, an e-version copy of my book, so you can get some ideas for structure and things like that. And then we have what I call an author orientation or on-your-mark call on Wednesday night prior to the weekend. And that's where I go over some housekeeping and answer questions, calm people down a little bit, you know, and things like that. Get them ready to rock and roll. I deliver the templates that I use. I have both a square book and a 9x6 book template that you can just write right into, and then you don't have to worry about the formatting so much when you're done. It's already in book format, so you can actually take that template, that document, the Word document, upload it to a website that I tell you about, and then have your book in hand a few days later for less than $20.
Awesome.
So I deliver these materials. We have one call on Wednesday night. We have our kickoff call Saturday morning. It's kind of like at the start of a race. I do the firing gun, and I say go. And you're off and writing, and that's really the intent of the weekend, to have that accountability and that support so you get writing done. And then a couple laser coaching calls on Saturday, one on Sunday afternoon. And then Sunday night we have our Publish to Profits call, where I talk all about the ISBNs, how do you get on Amazon, what about a cover designer, how do I do distribution, everything of that nature. I answer all those questions. And then actually a week later I added an alumni call for those kind of things that come up after the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and you're putting some, you know, bows and ties on your project and that, then I'll answer the questions that come later. It's about a 1 week later is the alumni call.
Awesome. Let me give that link again, consciousbusinesstribe.com/write-a-book. It's also on the speaker page. You can just click that link, and I, of course, will send it in a follow-up email. Donna, we've got two questions here. Can we answer them? I know we're over time.
Fine by me.
Yeah, here we go. Alicia, can you write a book before you have a business? Can you write about how you healed?
Yeah, I think that's actually a great question, Alicia. It's actually a great way to kind of start the foundation of your business and what you're all about. Just as I was saying that the person who writes the book learns the most from that book, it's the same for you. You can provide a structure for yourself and the business that you're going to create by writing about your story. And no matter if it's a case study book or a quote book or answering questions that you answered on email book, any of those, I still want you to incorporate parts of your story because that's what makes the book different and unique. And I say absolutely yes.
Wonderful. And the next question is from Celeste in Barbados. What type of sales should you have with a self-published book before approaching a publisher for further publishing?
Excellent. What type of sales should you have from a published book? I would say something between starting as low as 10,000 and probably going up towards 20,000
mm-hmm.
shown sales. I think, but it's not even exactly sales that you're looking for. Was it Celeste?
Yes.
It's not sales that you're looking for so much as, you know, even the distribution. If you can say, I've spoke in front of this many people.
Right.
You know, and gave away the person who sponsored the speech bought my book in bulk and gave away these many copies and that and stuff too. So it doesn't have to be direct sales. But I was maybe on the low side, like around 5,000, you're really starting to get some good momentum going. But I would probably aim for about 10 to 15.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Donna, it's been wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much for staying here the extra time and answering questions and really giving away extraordinary content. It was wonderful having you at the Conscious Business Telesummit.
It's absolutely been my pleasure. Thank you so much, Adela, for asking me.
Thank you, Donna. And thank you, everyone on the call, for being here. And we'll see you on Monday. Thank you. Thanks, Donna. Bye-bye.